Praise the Lord. Well, let's read scripture and we'll get into this. We're going to be talking about vision tonight. So sometimes when we're in worship and stuff and it gets like quiet like it did, a lot of times God will speak to different people about different things. Sometimes it's just something for you, but then sometimes it might be for everybody here. And I know that, you know, years ago when that would happen to me, I didn't know what to do. Like, should I say something or should I keep it to myself or what should I do? And then my heart would start going out of my chest and I didn't say anything. And then I kept having those experiences and I started to realize I needed to step out and just say it. I really felt like when it got quiet there that the Lord was speaking to different people. There might have been getting visions and things like that. I didn't know, getting into specifics, but it's okay. You're in a safe place here, okay? Now, if you get up and prophesy, there's not going to be any winter, fall, or spring anymore. We'll let it slide and realize that, but you tried, right? But it's a safe place here. I mean, I want to encourage you to do that. You know, if you get out of control, I'll reel you in, but it's okay. So we might experience that a little bit more often, but, you know, I want you to feel free to do that. Amen. And then we judge all things anyway. Everything's recorded here. And if something's not the Lord, it's not the Lord, and it's the way it is. So it's important that we judge things. So many times, you know, things are said, people go, no one ever judges it, never ever looks at it. That's why it's important to me that everything gets recorded here, even your personal words, because those need to be judged. Do they come to pass? You know, some words that you get, prophecy, they play out over a period of years. It's not something that happens just, you know, in 2 days. You know, I've had words back in the 80s that a lot of them have come to pass. Some of them still have more to go, but the majority of them had already had happened. It's just amazing to go back and to listen to them and to see how the Lord was saying things ahead of time, because the Holy Spirit likes to show you things to come. That's part of being with the Spirit of God, is he knows the future. He knows your future. He wrote your life out before you're even here. So he knows everything. And that's what's so fun about being in the presence of God. And the presence of God comes in different levels of strength. And I believe and been believing for the Lord to really have a true outpouring in this place. We have been receiving outpourings. Some of you maybe have been experiencing that. Now I have. I had a little outpouring last week here. But there's been some outpourings. But I'm really believing for an earth-shaking outpouring. And it's something that, just so that you know, that when you gather, that's something that I really have been put before the Lord, because I believe it really, all Christians really right now really need to be believing for that and praying for that and asking for it. We need to be asking for that. You know, so many times, you know, people come, they gather in these churches and they go, and I don't know what anybody, why they're even meeting sometimes, because if you don't believe for an outpouring, if you don't want the presence of God, then why are we doing this? So when it takes the presence of God, Moses knew that. You know, Moses, he told the Lord, he said, Lord, you know, you're sending me, but if you don't go with me, if your presence doesn't go with me, how will all the nations distinguish us from anybody else? And that's what distinguishes the Christian from a person that's living in the world, is the presence of God, because that can't be faked. It's something that's just in you, and it wants to manifest through you. God wants to manifest himself through you. Remember, it's no longer that you live, but Christ lives through you. It's no longer I that live. And that's something that really I think about quite a bit, because so many times, and even in my discussion today with the Lord, you know, I'm anticipating, I've got expectations, I'm believing for things to happen. He's been speaking, and he's been speaking to you, and you're anticipating these things, but they haven't quite happened yet. But you know they're coming, and you're looking for it. Which way do I go? You know, I mean, what is it that you're going to do? But I know you're going to do it. And these expectations build in us over a period of time, and it can get to the point to where even almost it may be frustrated with God. I really can't get angry at God. What is that going to do anyway? But sometimes I was looking in the Psalms the other day and I saw something where David had asked the Lord, do it now. You know, and I said, okay, I can say that, you know. So I thought I'd try it out. So we'll see what happens. Amen. But you know, sometimes, you know, like Jesus even told his disciples, you know, you don't know what you're asking for here, but I'm going to get what you're asking for, you know? So, you know, when you say, God, you know, take this vessel, use me any way you want. I mean, you know, the recording angels write that down. He's going to hold you to account that. And he's going to do that in your life. So you've asked that and now you're going to get it. And the way that it comes about may not be the way that you and I would want it to be, but everything he does is always good. And he has been preparing you for seasons and times, and he prepared you to, even before you came here tonight, he was preparing you. And some of you came here tonight, you needed some strength, and some of you came in here tonight, and just as the worship began to worship the Lord, his presence just moved in here in a strong way. Not because of Shannon, or not because of Donna, or not because of any particular, because of us. And we have to remember that. We have to keep our eye on the ball. It's about the body of Christ. We are the representation, we're the ambassadors of Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. Think about that. You're representing him. And that's why a lot of people get turned off to Christianity, because some of the people that have been representing him, they're like, man, I don't want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ if that's what it's going to be about. And they say they know us by the way we, by our love for one another. And it's not the world's love. It's an unconditional love. It's the love that Jesus loves you and I with. It's a love that cannot fail. It's a love that believes the best of every person. You know, it's a love that is able, see, when the love of God is moving through you, it's almost like there's x-rays. That's the way I can explain it. So it's like I'm like an x-ray machine. I can see things when the love is turned up inside of me like that. Because when the love of God moves through you, it penetrates people. It just moves right through them. Many people don't know how to deal with it. They can't stop it. They're not used to being loved. Now, there's the love of the world, and but that's finite. The love of God is eternal, and it's piercing, and it's ongoing, and it doesn't stop. It continues on and on throughout forever and forever. And so as you're learning to move and walk in that love, God gives you these special abilities that only he possesses, and he's inside of you, and he manifests himself through you to deliver words of peace, words of strength, encouragement, acts, you know, kindness, deeds like that. I mean, these things are something that you and I should be experiencing on a daily basis. And it's something that God wants to do through his people. Because see, it's when we were worshiping over there, one of the things that I really was feeling the Holy Spirit talking to me about is that Jesus likes to just spend time with us. You know, like you would with your kids. And you know, my son came up to me today. I was preparing to come up here. I went out on my porch and I'm reading, and all of a sudden I felt like I was going to go to sleep. I mean, I really got like I almost just fell asleep in the middle of reading for tonight, and I had to leave like within 30 minutes. And I said, you know, I'm gonna go lay down, and I think I'll just lay down. And so I'll set my alarm, because that would be really bad if I didn't show up, you know. And so I set my alarm, and then all of a sudden my son comes walking in, and he goes, Dad, I love you. I mean, just out of the blue, you know. And see, that's when we say that to him, when we're worshiping him and he manifests himself like that, you were communicating that to him. Some of you maybe even were saying that to him. I mean, it's not like he's way off there. It's like he's here. It's like you're face to face with him. And this is how the manifestation, the presence of God comes in waves of strength. It's by our reaching out to, he wants to spend time with his kids. You know what I mean? And when we invite him, like, and we say, well, I love you. And when John said that to me, it blew me away, because earlier in the day, as I'm in the presence of the Lord, and as I was praying for some time, I was, you know, thanking the Lord for him. Because when I drop him off at school, he says, "Dad, I love you," and he gets out of the car. It's not something it's just natural for him to do that. And I was thanking the Lord. I said, "Lord, you know, there's so many, I'm going to enter your courts with thanksgiving, and enter your courts with praise," or I got it backwards or whatever. But I was thinking that, and I was thanking God for John and for him, that moment, those moments. Because I believe that that's my blessing. That's something that God has blessed me with. And so when John was saying that to me, it's like, you know, the Holy Spirit's moving on him. And then he goes, "Dad, tell me, have you seen the glory cloud?" No. He's 9 years old. He doesn't know anything about the glory cloud. He says, "Have you seen the glory cloud?" And I go, you know, I've seen kind of a fog, and I was trying to describe it. And he goes, "What does it smell like?" And I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know, well, Rosa Sharon, I mean, I didn't know how to answer that right away, because I said, well, you know, I need, so I was asking the Lord, I said, what does it look like and what does it smell like? I mean, I'm asking him. Because the thing is, that whole thing, that little incident between me and my son, was all the Holy Spirit setting that up for tonight. So I just want to encourage you that, you know, when you come into this gathering, come expecting for an outpouring with me. Come in agreement with me. Because God wants to pour out on us so strongly that literally when we walk out the door, we're going to be loving the world that needs a touch from him. They're so confused. They don't know what direction they're going in. They don't even know who they are. And not only that, his very kids, it says in the scripture about how my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They go into captivity because of lack of knowledge. There's so many people that don't know what you know about him, his kids. And so I'm believing that when people come in here and they get filled and they move out of here, that they can share this knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ and that gift that he's given to the world, the gospel of the kingdom. They have an eternal life. He believes on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is something that you want to carry out of here. And when the love fills you up like that, you can't help but talk about it. It gives you entrance into every conversation that you ever encounter. Some of you move and flow in this very easily. They call it the gift of gab. You know what I'm saying? But there's a gift of gab in the Holy Spirit that is rooted in love. And so when you go out among the population and he manifests through you, you recognize it. You are sensitive to the move of the Holy Spirit and you put it into practice and you look for the unction. You expect the unction to come through you. You expect an encounter with people because you recognize he's on you, not to just to anoint you and just walk around and say, well, I'm anointed. You're anointed to what? As Jesus was, what did he do? He was anointed to destroy the works of the devil. And there's works going on in our nation right now and in our communities that is of the devil that need to be destroyed. And it's the anointing that breaks these yokes over people's lives. And you are the anointed. Amen? God is so good. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for tonight, Lord. We just ask you now to give us unction in this teaching, Lord, that we may be able to speak as a disciple. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go to Ephesians. Excuse me. I'm not in Ephesians. I'm in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. Says, but this is after the day of Pentecost, and Peter gets up and says, but this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. The utterance came through, the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophet Joel thousands of years ago, and when it was spoken through Joel, it went out into this atmosphere, it went out into this realm, it was God's word, it will come to pass. So he's echoing it. He says, and this is what was spoken by prophet Joel, and it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise. It's an awesome scripture. But what I want to focus in on is up in verse 17 where it says, and your young men shall see visions. Now, just know this, that the Holy Spirit speaks to us and God speaks to us through different means. And one of those means is visions, okay? And I heard, I think it was you, Terry, say, what's it like to have a vision? Or I want to have a vision and things like that. And so many of you in here have had visions before, okay? And people have experienced them in different ways. And for example, I had one vision one time that was within a dream. I mean, I'm actually in a dream, but then I have a vision in the dream. It seems strange. That's the only way I can explain it. But I literally could touch things. I could feel things. But it's different with different people. But God desires these things to come to us. But there's certain things. I don't think the Holy Spirit just drops visions on people. I think he does sometimes, you know, unexpectedly people get things like that. But also, I think that most of the times I've seen in the scriptures where people had visions, there were reasons for that. They were doing something. It was like a cause and effect type thing. And I think that, not that, you know, that should be our motivation. We're going to do X, Y, and Z so that we have a vision. I think it's more or less you're on the job. You're on your mission. You're doing what God has called you to do. And you start to recognize that you have a responsibility to look well to your herds, to your sheep, to your flock. Weeks ago, I think I sent a small little video clip about that one scripture, you know, to look well towards your flock. We might say, well, what's my flock? You know, I don't have a flock. You know, I'm not a shepherd. No, your flock is everybody you come in contact with. It's everybody that you know. It's like I have a responsibility to pray for you. So before coming in here, I will start praying. And so many of your faces will just come up before me. It's different every time. Or I'll be thinking about someone during the day and they pop up here like Paul did. And, you know, why? I mean, God knew he was going to come tonight. And he, you know, I was just praying for him. I wasn't saying, God, you know, punish him or anything like that because he's being a bad boy. No, I was just praying for him. Or I just had a thought about him. So you have a responsibility for your flock. So you want to engage in that. You want to understand that, you know, hey, you know, it's not I live, him lives through me. Well, I can do something today. I mean, I'm not preaching today, but I can be preaching, or, you know, or I'm just going to start to pray. So you got to look towards your flock. Who is your flock? Who are the people? And you maybe have some special people that you're in relationship with. You might have some special enemies. Amen? So let's go back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. So I think that there was a reason why Daniel had this specific vision I'm going to talk about in chapter 10, because if you flip back a page to 1405 there, in verse 20 and 9 and 20, it says, now when I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God on the behalf of the holy mountain of my God, while I was still speaking prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I've seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. So it tells you there that Daniel was speaking and praying. He was confessing his sin before the Lord. He was also confessing the sin of his people. He was concerned about Israel. He was very concerned about Israel. We have to be very concerned about the body of Christ. One of the things I started to realize, I used to call it, I feel like sometimes I walk around agitated all the time. I mean, not in the sense that I'm an agitated person. I can be that way. I can get edgy. But I get agitated. I think about the body of Christ a lot. I do. I do because I feel like I want to, like anything else, you know, you want the best for your friends. You want the best for the body of Christ. And there's concerns that come up in my spirit in terms of like, you know, gosh, God's people need to have certain knowledge about the outpouring. I mean, do people know that he's about to return? I mean, what you name it, you know, those are the kind of things that can come up in your spirit when you're concerned about your family. Amen? You ever have concerns about your family? Yeah, we all have, okay? So these concerns, you know, Daniel was very concerned about the nation of Israel. Now let's flip over to chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the message was true and one of great conflict, but he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. So he kind of starts out giving you like he gets a message and he understands it. Okay, then it kind of plays out from there. So in verse 2, it says, in those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food. He didn't have chocolate donuts, nor did he eat meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. Now, it doesn't say that he completely fasted. It didn't say that he didn't eat. He just didn't have anything that tasted good. I don't know what he had, grubs or maybe he was eating vegetables or whatever it was, but it didn't mean that he didn't, you know, eat anything. It just that he chose a specific fast. And many times God may say, tell you to fast. I mean, he just does. You know, skip a meal here or whatever. Or maybe you just feel led to do that. But, you know, he was in mourning, okay? Why was he in mourning? We got a glimpse of it prior to that. I think he was in mourning because the restoration of Israel was not happening fast enough for him. You know, I think he saw an incomplete restoration. He saw a slow pace of restoration. You know, Israel was being restored. And he also, too, he had visions of future trials that was going to happen to the nation of Israel. I mean, he had these revelations that were happening. Sometimes you get revelation of things. It can be disturbing. Not everything that you hear from the Lord sounds really nice when it pertains to future events. You know, I've been in situations where I've had to confront people, confront someone that was in adultery sometimes. And it's not a fun thing to do, but it was a necessary thing to do. And I also did not confront them. I told them if they did not listen to the Lord, there would be consequences. And there were. And so that was not something that I am necessarily like to do. I've had to talk to pastors, and I had to tell pastors that they said that they were spending money on something, and I came to them, I said, you're not doing that. You're taking this amount of money and you're spending it on yourself, and then you're taking the rest of it and you're giving it. You're not giving all that money away. You're only giving a portion of it away. And if you don't do what it's supposed to do, there are going to be consequences. And there were. I mean, there are things that you sometimes, future events that God shows you are not always pleasant, you know, but he always has a purpose in it because he loves his kids. And you know, just like, you know, I've gotten out of line before, and I'm sure he's had to take me to the woodshed in different ways, and I could go back through my life and see where he's corrected me, and I needed a correction. You know, I needed an attitude adjustments. So not everything that you get is always going to be pleasant, but when it's pertaining to the future. And Daniel, I'm sure, was very concerned because he obviously had some revelation that the Jews were going to go into captivity, that they were going to be persecuted, you know, because basically they committed spiritual adultery and they just basically stopped following the Lord. So he was in this place where he was basically, you can see, he's an intercessor. He's one that stands in the gap. He's the one that loves his people and he loves his God and he wants to see everything restored. So in verse 4 it says, on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by at the bank of the great river, that is Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded up with a belt of pure gold of Upaz. His body was also like beryl, and his face was the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and his feet like gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words was like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Well, let's skip right there. Let's stop right there in verse 6. It's the description he has is very similar to what John saw in the book of Revelation. I'm not saying for sure, because it doesn't tell us for sure that it's Jesus, okay? But it's very similar. But whatever he saw here in this vision, I mean, it was blowing him away. And verse 7 says, now Daniel alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pale pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face on the ground. Now here you have one good example of being slain in the spirit. No one's around, nobody's here to catch him, and he's down. So this type of vision carried with it a tremendous presence of God. I mean, so much so that he had no strength left in him. I mean, he was just basically paralyzed. And when he heard the voice of whatever was speaking, whether it was Jesus or it was an angel or whatever it was, when he heard just the sound of the voice, boom, he went down. Now, what's interesting here in this specific vision, this was a vision that was occurred to him when he was awake. He was by a river, and there were other people that were around him. So you can't necessarily think that a vision is going to come to you just when you're in seclusion or when you're asleep or whatever. This could happen anywhere, anytime, any place that the Lord sovereign Jesus Christ decides to do this. But you have to understand, he's on the job. He's got a mission. He's a prophet of God, and he knows it. And so he's doing his job. And so that's why these supernaturally encounters, these manifestations are happening in his life. He's doing something with what God is giving him to do. And so, but we know here that because he was alone, he wasn't alone, that the people that were around him, they didn't see it. But man, they said the great dread fell on them, and they ran away and hid themselves. Now, it's one thing to run, but to run and to hide. I mean, they don't see anything. And so this gives you, I want you to see this, because I want you to understand that the manifestations of God carry these types of things. Other people that are around get affected by it, even though they don't believe, and even though they don't see, they know that something's there. Verse 10 says, and then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, of high esteem, understand the words I'm about to tell you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he spoke this word to me, I stood up trembling. That's the power of God. He experienced the power of God, and he goes down. But the Lord didn't, or whoever is speaking to him, whether it's Gabriel or the Lord or whatever, didn't keep him on the ground. He spoke to him to stand up, and all of a sudden the power of God puts him back up on his feet, but he's trembling. And see, this is, you know, when we talk about the fear of the Lord and the great respect and awe of God, we are very flippant sometimes when we come into his presence. We need to come in with that great respect, because every one of these guys that have had these experiences, they were afraid. They were trembling. There was a power and an encounter they just have never, ever understood or ever seen. And so he's in this situation. Now he gets up and he's trembling. Verse 12 says, then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from now on, the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God. Your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words." So Daniel is on the job. He's interceding for Israel. He's crying out. It says that he set his heart. Now, when you see this in the scripture, set the heart, this is a focus beyond what we understand as focus in the world. I mean, you could focus on something for a little while. A lot of us, we have spiritual ADD, you know, where we're kind of there, and then we're over here, and then we're here. I mean, you know, even in worship, and some of you have been saying this to the Lord, "Lord, I just want to be able to see you. I don't want to have all this other stuff that I'm worshiping. It's like stuff's in the way," you know, and you've been saying that to the Lord, and God's been answering some of your prayers. But I just want to encourage that this, when he says set the heart, that is a focus that you and I need to gleam and walk out of here with. Set your heart, a focus. Where are you going? Where are we ultimately going? We're going to be standing in front of him and giving him an account of our life. That's where we are heading. Our destination is to the Father. Remember what Jesus said? No one can come to the Father except through me. A lot of people think, well, our destination is heaven. Yes. No, your destination is to the Father. You're going to be in front of the Creator. And so set his heart. That when you see that word, set your heart, that brings a focus that you can have, that you can walk out of here with, that brings you to attention in the morning where you can say, like we just read in the scripture, he wakens me morning by morning. The first words that you hear in the morning are his. And that can happen before that nasty alarm goes off. My alarm's got this little sweet music on. It's not sweet. It doesn't seem sweet to me anymore. When it comes up, it's more of an irritant. You know, we used to, back in the day, you hit that thing, it just buzzed, you know, and it just, you try to hit it, you know, and now they've made it nice and soft, but it somehow doesn't change. But when the Lord wakes you up, when the Lord wakes me up in the morning, I'm awake, and I don't go through that, you know, grogginess. It's more or less, hey, I'm awake. I tell my body what to do. My body doesn't tell you, okay, I'm care you're tired. Yeah, I'm not consulting you today. You have no, I tell you what, I'm going to tell you to get up right now, walk over there, and you are not going to have a donut. You're going to look at them. I'm going to let you touch it, but you're not going to eat one because those are John's donuts. You see what I go through? Now you know how I'm being challenged. Or I'll eat a donut. I go, well, I can't believe you ate that donut. I haven't smacked myself yet. But anyway, so set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God. Okay, so he set his heart. He set his heart, his focus was to understand. And let me tell you something. You think about it right now. There are some things that you are desperately wanting to understand from God. I mean, you want to know something. And he had his heart wanting to understand these visions and understand these things as they're coming to him. And so he set his heart and says, and then he humbles himself. So he meets this criteria of wanting to, he set his heart to understand, and he humbles himself before God. You know, humbling yourself before the Lord, you know, is something that means different things to, I think, all of us. You know, how do you humble yourself before God? You know, I say, you know, I when I get in the presence of God, sometimes I just say, you know, Lord, I don't know anything. You know, but not, I don't want to say it in a way that he doesn't want me to say. He doesn't want me not to know anything. He wants me to know a lot. But you understand what I'm saying? I can't come into his presence with any kind of pride. I can't come into his presence with any kind of, I have accomplished this, or I am this, or I am that. I can only come into his presence by just, he's God. And just surrender my problems, surrender my ideas, surrender it all, because I'm coming to learn. Teach me, Lord. Your servant is listening. You know, you don't just come in, you know, we were over in South Africa and we were, went to go see those queens and stuff. You just don't come in just talking. You wait till you're give him permission to talk. And so this, it's just humbling yourself before the Lord. And I think it's more than just getting to his presence, it's the way we live. You know, it's the way we treat other people. Yeah, I had this guy cut me off today. It was impressive. And I saluted him. I saluted him like this. I just went like this. Now, years ago, I would have had a different way of saluting. So I've grown. But it's still, I saluted him. Now, as soon as I did that, I said, he doesn't get that. He doesn't understand that. And I could tell that he felt bad about it. Because as I zipped around him the other side, I wanted to see what he did. Now, why did I do that? I maneuvered around. I'm telling you, okay, yeah, I slingshot out of that. But he slowed down, but I could tell that he didn't see me. He didn't know I was there, okay? But, why? Humbling yourself for the Lord, I could have handled that differently. Said, praise God, thank you that you didn't hit me. I hope you're okay. I hope you haven't been drinking or anything. Bless them, Lord. But there was a moment there where I was not wishing him well or her or whoever it was. And what if it was Jesus in there driving, just trying to see, you just don't know these days. But I'm just telling you, humbling ourselves before God, I like to tell myself, humbling yourself before the Lord is how do we treat other people? That's a big one right there. Because we don't think of it like that. Out of respect for you, Father, I love this person. Humble yourself before the Lord. So he met these criterias, and I think that that's one of the reasons why he received these revelations. Now, verse 13 gives a lot of information here. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia. So in other words, he prayed, the Lord heard his prayer, and then immediately the Lord responds and says, I'm bringing the answer. From the day that you set your heart, the answer came, okay? But verse 13 gives us a glimpse into the unseen realm. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. And then behold, Michael came, one of the chief princes came to help me, for I had been left there with the king of Persia. Now, in the book of Ephesians, it says in Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness. And that Greek word there is kosmokratoros, world rulers of darkness of this age. They're master spirits. They are princes who rule over nations. Every nation has a ruling spirit that extends its kingdom of darkness, and it's characterized by certain evil works. The prince of Persia is over Asia. The spirit embodies itself in Islam. And that's what he was dealing with. And so you have these spirits that are over regions and nations. And some of you in here, maybe you've done a lot of traveling, and I've traveled with so many different nations. But when you get in different nations, there's I call it a feel. But the feel is what these things are that are ruling these nations. They don't rule everybody, but they have a great impression on the nations. And when I go to China, I was in Wuhan right before the thing broke out. And I remember being in the hotel room, and I would pray in the spirit. And that particular time I was praying in the spirit, I noticed that my unknown tongues, that I didn't know what I was saying, they were fierce, they were different, they were warlike. And so I don't, whatever Holy Spirit wants to do through me is his business. Sometimes he tells me, sometimes he doesn't. But I just knew that they were warlike. I knew there was a battle that was going on. Now, after I left and everything broke out, now I, in relation, there was a little bit more, probably more to it than I knew at the time. And the Lord was trying to show me, and he did, as I got back, he did reveal to me that he did show me. I just didn't see it. I didn't know what was going on. It was like going over my head. So, but there these spirits rule in different areas. And we have in this country, as you know, was founded on Christian principles. And so you have that effect over this country. I mean, it is, you know, that there is something that is over this country that is trying to take it down, but also you're also much very aware that there is a lot of Christians in this country. You know, and I'm not saying the rapture is going to occur now or whenever. I'm not going to get into that tonight, but I will say this, that if there was a rapture, this nation would be, a lot of people would be gone. A lot of our army would be gone. I don't know where that leaves Israel, but not in a good place. So, you know, you have these things over different regions, but just know this, that Daniel, the fact that he's praying and interceding, had something to do with the battle that occurred against this spirit. He humbled himself. He cried out to God. He interceded for his nation. He wanted to understand things that were to come because the information that he was going to be given was going to be written as we were going to read it today. It was going to unlock doors and give us revelation of things that were to come. Very, very important what he carried. And the enemy tried to stop that from happening. And so it gives us that information that there was a spirit there, the Prince of Persia, that kept things back. But it says here, then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes on the good side, came to help me, and I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision pertains to the days of the future. So he had these visions. He wanted to know, God sends an angel. Maybe it was Gabriel. We don't really know. It doesn't say. It just says what the thing, what the spirit was, or what, I mean, the angel was, or whatever. It just describes him. It doesn't say who they are. But it does say that he came to give him the understanding of the vision. And it was for the future. So visions that you will get, that God would give you, are going to pertain many times to future events. Some of you have had dreams where you've dreamed things and you go and you say, oh, I had deja vu, or that's the thing, that's kind of the world's way of explaining it. But you might have had a dream or some type of a vision where God would show you something that was going to take place. Years ago, my sister began to have seizures. And they didn't know why she was having them. And I just recently, I'd been baptized in the Spirit too long, but the Lord had given me two dreams back to back, or visions, or what do you want to say. And the first vision was, I was traveling up to Cincinnati and my mom was driving, but it wasn't my mom. And I was in this car and I knew it wasn't my mom, but it looked like my mom. And it turned around, I could tell it wasn't my mom. It was an evil thing. You know, there's nothing worse than evil mom, I tell you. It drive, not my mom's evil, but you know what I'm saying? You know, this is that kind of thing, like, you know. And so I'm driving up there and all of a sudden I'm in the bedroom of where my sister is. But my sister was not in the bedroom that I was in the house where she was staying with my aunt. And I knew that, but what I didn't know is that they actually switched rooms. So I was in the room where she was actually sleeping. I'm in the room, and in the corner, there's this thing. It's just a frog. It's sitting there, and it's a demon, and it's looking at me. It says, you can't cast me out. I've been in your family for generations, and you can't cast me out. And it's just like, talk to me like that. And so I'm like, I wanted to try to cast out, and I couldn't talk. It put gum in my mouth. I couldn't say anything to it. But I kept trying to get out, and then that was the end of the dream. And then the next night, I had a dream that I was praying for my sister in my best friend's apartment with a Presbyterian minister who I went to church up in Cincinnati. So I come back home for Christmas and my sister's there and she's been having these seizures. And so I sat there and pulled her aside and I started to talk to her. And I said, you know, Suzanne, I had these dreams and, you know, I think it was Christmas Eve, or it was right before Christmas Eve, right around there. And I go, I think I just need to pray for you. And she says, well, and I shared some words of knowledge. I said, yeah, let's go ahead and pray. And I said, okay, well, let me call my friend up. So I called my friend up, Barry. I said, Barry, hey, can I use your apartment to pray for my sister? He says, yeah, actually, I'm not going to be there, but I'll give you the keys. You can use it. And so the next thing I called the pastor up, and I go, hey, Pastor Reinhardt, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, all those things I've been telling you about. Well, I had this dream about my sister, and I was supposed to pray with you and her in my best friend's apartment. Are you available? And he was very interested, and he said, yes. I mean, this guy, just take time to even do this was amazing. So here I am in my best friend's apartment praying for my sister. There was no manifestation. There was no thing that nothing happened. It's just that Reverend Reinhardt said, look, after you got done praying with her, I could just see she had just changed. Now, she hasn't had a seizure since then. Amen. I mean, she just had, some people said, well, she's on medication. I don't care what, she hasn't had a seizure. Okay, so I give that all to the glory of God. But the thing is, these visions that you get, or dreams, or whatever they are, they will show you things to come, but also they can be directive in nature. And you just follow through with what you see. And that was one thing that really spoke to me. But I mean, like I said, I didn't know very much back then, but I know I was pretty radical. I mean, God was just doing stuff, and I was trying to figure out what it was. But these are things that the Holy Spirit is in you to do. So you can anticipate it. You can expect it because he works that way, And I was concerned about my sister, and I was praying for my sister. So, Daniel was active and following his mission and so forth. So let's read on here. When he'd spoken to me these words, I turned my face towards the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being touched my lips. And when I opened my mouth, and he spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, as a result of this vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength. He is just, I mean, the thing, it's almost to me, it seems like when the Lord sometimes ministers to us in these things, it's almost like we can't, our mind, everything, we can't contain it. It's like it's ready to pop, And so he has to supernaturally minister to Daniel here for him to be able to handle this. Because if we read on here, it gets a little scary. As a result of vision, anguish has come upon me, and I retain no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. I mean, this, he is like, you can't breathe. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. Because when you read these accounts, it's almost like, is it an angel? Is it the Lord? Is it this? I mean, it's like he jumps around a little bit, so it doesn't really tell us. But it says this, he touched me again and he strengthened me. He said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. You read this and he's having this experience. He's seeing these things. He's down. He's almost dying. Now he's up. He's down. He's up. He's down. And I mean, Daniel went through it. But he was chosen. Then he said, do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I'm going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. There was going to be another spirit, master spirit, that was going to rise up after this prince of Persia. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in writing of the truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince. And what that does, it identifies it that Michael is over the nation of Israel. He is a defender and a fighter of Israel. And so I would submit to you that we have Michael on our side as well. We're grafted in. And so Michael is on our side. And maybe if it's possible, I would submit to you that Michael is over us as well, collectively with the nation of Israel. And so, and because of that, we can rest assured that he will fight and he will take on these unseen things that are in the heavenly realm, because the scripture says our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, the reason why I'm submitting this to you, because I do not know in this room who is going to leave here and become so totally on fire and consumed and turn to be the next Billy Graham or whatever, or the next Daniel or the next whatever. But I would submit to you that you have that potential within you, that when you meet the requirements of being so concerned about the church and about the kingdom of God, that you can live a lifestyle that has a heart that is set and focused on the Lord. Because your callings and your ministries are just as significant as Daniel's or anybody else's in the scripture. Because Jesus said himself that from the moment the men were born until John the Baptist, there hadn't been anybody greater than John. But he said the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. And the reason why he said that is he knew that he would be inside of anybody who would receive him, who would take eternal life. And so the potential that all of us have is way beyond our even understanding. All it takes is a life that is submitted and begins to believe and understands that when truth really hits you, Jesus says, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. That when you know the truth of who you are, and you know the truth of why you're here, and you know the truth of what you can do in him, the sky's the limit. And so I would just submit that to you tonight, that visions are something that God desires that you would experience in this walk. Now you might say to yourself, well, it does say, Todd, that young men shall see visions, and I'm old. Well, you'll have dreams then. But the Lord wants to open up our hearts of understanding to realize that this is a supernatural walk. And he wants us to be heavily, heavily armed, that we can go out and we can do some real, real damage. We don't have to accept things the way the world has to accept things. You know, people get a bad report and, you know, well, doctors have no solution for that, so that it's going to be this or whatever the doctor says. But we don't live like that. No, well, we have a God and he can cure anything and he's made the body. And, you know, I mean, you know, we'll have to do some walking on water tonight, but we'll do that. You know, whatever is it. Now, but, you know, you don't just start out here, you know, even with what I did for a living, you know, nobody starts out on a 10-meter platform. There's foundational stuff. But wherever you are in the Lord, you know, master that level in him. And he'll take you to the next level, and to the next level, and to the next level. But if you want it, he's going to know that you want it, because that isn't fake. That's something that he discerns inside of us, if you really want it. And you know, it comes right down to say, Lord, I just want to serve you, because that's the only thing that matters in this life. That's the only thing that counts. And that's truth. And when you come to that conclusion and that understanding, Everything changes. So let's all stand to our feet. Paul, did you get that vision yet? Oh, figured. Come on, brother. He can also interpret probably what I said.
Yeah, it was interesting, and is this on?
I think it's on. Yeah, it's on.
It was interesting in the realm of, as I thought about what I saw just that quickly, and then it was gone, just that fast. It was like there, and then it was gone. And I was sitting on the left, which the left of everybody else, it was pretty much as far away as I could possibly get. And I actually need to go, I need to get my phone hole with me. I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna tell you and I'm gonna show you. But all of a sudden, initially what I thought wings behind me. And I actually looked to see if there was an angel standing behind me. I really did. Just all of a sudden it was like, I could feel the wind, I could feel the, I was like, wow, something's right there. And then right here, was a tiny little bird like that. The long beak. And he was right here. That's what I wrote. I said, the bird came after the wind and the wings. It was like it just came and it was like right here, and it was like, where's the sweetness? And it was looking for sweetness, and it was almost like I had sweetness to give it, and it had sweetness to give to me, and there was this cross-pollination that could take place automatically, and I was there. So everybody was here, and we could cross-pollinate. I could receive from everybody that was in all of you, is what was happening. And came up on my left side, on my weak side, to give, I should have brought my glasses, to give, did I put them there? Thank you. Jeez. I'm an old man.
You'll be dreaming tonight.
I do dream as well. It came up to my left side, on my weak side, to give, but also to receive, to pollinate. Every feather, this was so important, every feather, I saw it right on the back of its head, every feather was in place, even as it moved its head. Every feather has its perfect place. Its head was small, its beak was long, curved, and black. It was tweeting, singing, whispering, if you will, if you will. I felt safe, and obviously it felt safe. And I just felt like the Lord was just saying the possibility of receiving. We can all do that. And he's like, right here, and I want the sweetness from you. Will your mouth produce sweetness for me? But can I also pollinate into you with what I have?
Cool. Thank you. Thank you.
I can give you other ones.
That's good. Thanks. Somehow knew the Lord was giving him a vision. I'm glad that it happened, because I didn't mean to embarrass Paul, because I wouldn't do that to Paul. Amen. God's so good. Is that making anything out of this tonight? I can't tell. Everybody's got that look on their face like, yeah, you're just telling me that. And that's so good.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. My sister back here, I just want to give you a word of encouragement. You know, as I look at you, the Lord just gave me this picture of gymnastics. And you tumbling and doing all this, and God's given you great abilities to maneuver and he's maneuvering you around a dart that's heading at you, and he's kind of repositioning you. And God says, you know, that lift up the shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. And you know how to do that. I mean, you know how to you've been quenching so many darts, you're like really good at it. And so I just want to encourage you. But see, the trial, what it did was it produced perseverance, and it produced, you know, endurance that you didn't have. And now you got that. And now you can go forward, because not only are you able to go forward, now you're much wiser. And the discernment that you have now as you came through that test has given you a superior vision in the Lord. And now you, not only you've always relied on the Lord, but now you really rely on the Lord. You will not take a step before you know that he has told you to go, and he has really conditioned and fine-tuned your ear to hear him. And the reason why you really need to hear them is because I see intercession. As Daniel interceded for those of the nation of Israel and those of his family and so forth, God has called you to intercede to those that are close, even to you within your family. And God says, I will deliver, just as he did my sister and healed her. God says, I will deliver. Just know this, you are positioned here strategically for this message to come to you tonight, that you might walk out of here knowing that God not only loves you and not only cares for you and not only has raised you up, but God says, I have called you into the realm of teaching, for there's a teacher I placed inside of you, and you will teach the word of the Lord, for God is going to give you such an appetite to dissect his Bible in such a way as never before, and you will submerge and you will receive, and you will submerge and receive, and then you will give out. For God, even now, I am setting up a platform for you to share the word of God in strength, and the healing gift God, by the Holy Spirit, is giving you tonight. You will move in the gift of healings. He will do it more than one way. He will just not do it one, but many different ways. It's not going to be come out like a dramatic thing, but it will come, says the Spirit of God, because you even yourself have asked for it, and you have felt the compassion of God move through you many times for those around you. I just know that God could fix that one. I just know God could fix that one. And he was sitting here watching what you thought within your heart and says, I give that to you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare it. Amen. That's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. Praise the Lord. Well, Lord, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight, Lord. I think if you need healing in your body tonight, Terry and Robert and anybody else that wants to get involved, I want you to come up and just pray for people. But just don't leave here tonight without getting some prayer. Amen. Just don't leave. If you got something in your body, it could be a tick, you know, anything minor like that. You got a tick? You just laughed. I thought maybe a tick. I said, in the name of Jesus, you know, boy, it's not on your head. So you're good. Amen. So if you have, yes, sir, come on up.
I want to get your glasses back.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Amen. I'm getting happy now. I'm going to have to shut this thing down before I get too happy. Amen. God said, no, if you need anything, I want you to come up. And if you feel led to pray for people, I want you to come up, okay? In Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you for your blessing. Lord, what a blessing it was to be here tonight in your presence. You've surely done great and mighty things. And Lord, we just receive from you any kind of vision, Lord, that you want to give to us, Lord. We are open to it now. We're open to it now, Lord. But Lord, cause us to be on the job, Lord God. Cause this love that we spoke about earlier to just penetrate us and to fill us up to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're also here for that. Amen.
During worship, I saw like a well in a bucket going down and getting dumped on like a kid's backpack over and over and over again. And then you told the story about your son, John. Made me feel like he's outpouring on the little ones. On the young group.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And my son, Hollis, he's been, yesterday, Tessa told me he saw like a yellow snake in the sky and stuff between like the neighbor's house and our neighbor's house, and he's seen like handlebars and the spirit, like steering wheels and stuff like that. So he's moving on kids, man.
You know, I'm glad you shared that with me, because I mean, you're absolutely right. I think he really is. He's been blowing me away.
Yeah.
last week he was telling me about different special lightning and stuff like that. And then at night I got a prophecy.